Well, let's take our Bibles and turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. So we'll continue our doctrinal preaching and looking at the things of God from the Word of God. And we started off on the origin of the Bible, where it came from. And we saw a little bit of that 2 weeks ago. And tonight we're going to get into the names of the Bible. And while we can't cover every name that the Bible gives for itself and is revealed to us in Scripture, we're going to see a few of them. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Now, I got a good verse for you for dinner time and lunch time, breakfast as well.
Come on.
It's 1 Samuel 9:23, and Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, and set it by thee. Amen and amen.
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 So if we look down to verse 27, after that little detour, we get to the message. It says in verse 27, as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. As we look tonight at the names of the Bible, one of the most common names for it outside of the word Bible is the word of God. And we see that show up here in 1 Samuel 9:27. And there's a principle here. The principle is this. To really get into the word of God, it's going to take a teacher to teach you the Bible. That teacher is the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
He uses the man of God here in verse 27. He uses the Bible, which is the Word of God. But don't you notice this? You have to be there. And there are times when you got to get alone and God show you things from the Bible.
Right.
Let me give you something here I think will be of a big help to you in your Christian walk. If it seems like God showed you something and He hasn't showed anybody else on planet Earth that ever, that's probably not God showing you that.
Right.
More times than not. I mean, you can find things in Scripture, and you'll think nobody else has ever heard of it. And then a short trip across life, you'll find out three or four others knew it too. And that's how all cults get started. They say that God gave them some kind of private interpretation of Scripture. God will do no such thing. Because He said there would be no private interpretation of the Scripture. But usually what we find the things in the Bible, and we read them and find out, we find out God showed them to people. But when we get along with God, we find out He don't show everything to everybody. He wants to show His disciples, His followers. He shows us things from the Word of God.
Right.
If you look over in Acts chapter 13, we're going to look at a few of these names of the Bible. The first one's obvious, the Word of God. He says it again over here in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, if you look down at verse 26, the Bible says this. And we got Paul over here, and he's preaching. He says this, Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Or excuse me, start back at verse 5. Verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues to the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Now, did you notice something? What were they doing? They were in the place where people was meeting together, preaching what? The word of God. Now, while I like a good book, just like anybody else does, you know, you read stuff and you want to, there's things I read sometimes and I think, boy, everybody needs to hear that and I want to preach to it. When I get back to it and it's time for to get a message together, we get back to this book.
Right.
I've seen too many people ruin great churches by saying, well, I learned this from this teacher and I want to present it to you by way of teaching it to you, and they'll teach out of somebody's book rather than God's book.
Yeah.
And then we find out that sometimes people will take, and they'll take what they tell you is, I got this from God, and they really got it from some holiness something or other.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't believe that. I got one for you tonight. Let's take a trip. Hold your place here. We'll come back to Acts 13 in just a minute. Let's look over to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. This is called running a rabbit, children. This ain't in the notes, this ain't the outline, this is just called running a rabbit. But we're going to do like, unlike Elmer Fudd, we're going to get that wascally wabbit tonight. Amen. This
amen.
Is yes, this is no. We're going to get him, amen. I don't mind somebody chasing rabbits as long as they kill that sucker and skin him at the end of the trip. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So you sound like you against rabbits. You got it, honey. Let's get all of them we can and make a stew or something. Let's make rabbit dumplings. Let's make fried rabbit, all that stuff. Exodus chapter 20, God's given something called the commandments over here. And if you get down to verse 5, he says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity upon the fathers, upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." What did God say he would do to idolaters? He would visit children of the third and fourth generation. If you look over in Exodus chapter 34, Exodus 34, if you ever think I turn you to too much Bible, there's a reason why, and I'm fixing to show it to you. Exodus 34, verse 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord thy God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, to the third and fourth generation." So, number two in the Bible is a number for what? Witness. So if I were to stop here and not look at any other part of Scripture, I could say that God has given us to a witness that he is going to visit your children with your sins. You couldn't really argue that if we only had these two verses of Scripture. You'd say, my goodness. And then I could say this. God's revealed it to me. That's why you're the sinner the way you was. Listen, your daddy was a drunk. That's why you were drunk. It's called generational demon possession. The only problem is this. Number one, it didn't say demons would visit generation to generation.
That's right.
It said God would. So would that not be blaspheming God somewhat to say that, or blaspheming the Holy Spirit? That's what that would be if that were the case, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Secondly, if that's all God had to say about it, you and I'd be in trouble. Because see, they want to take the rest of the message of the Bible and bring us in, but they don't want to leave. They leave this part out. It said he would not clear the guilty. If your guilt's not cleared by the time your eyes close that last time by the blood of the cross, you're doomed. So according to that verse, you act like your parents because they had demons they passed into you, and God don't clear you. You're done. There's no justification and no redemption. We've got to take the Bible for what it says. But then in the same breath, we can't leave anything out, can we? Let's look over to Ezekiel chapter 18. You ought to write this stuff down and mark it down. So next time you run into this stuff, when a Baptist tells you, "Oh, well, the Lord showed it to me," you say, "No, my preacher showed this to me. He said you got it from some kind of holiness Pentecostal somebody."
Right.
Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. See, because we're looking in the Word of God. Paul was preaching what to help them people over there? He was preaching the Word of God. He was preaching where they gathered together. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 18, we shall slay the rabbit. Verse 20, first sentence, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Is that true? Sure it is. Then it says, "The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." So God says over here that he's not going to pursue the third and the fourth generation through any kind of generational anything. He says here plainly that the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Some of you no doubt know my background and my past, and it varies not a whole lot from my daddy, and my daddy and my granddaddy's, they vary a little bit. But they, some of you got into sin. Your daddy never was in the same kind of sins you was.
That's right.
That's your real daddy?
Come on.
I look over, and I was looking the other night at the generational demon curse of Billy and Jason Kirsch. And the only thing I see that's about the same with them, they both got the same haircut.
That's right.
It was generationally passed down through DNA. But I've talked to your daddy in depth. He wasn't like you growing up as far as the way the stuff he got into. How'd that happen? I mean, if that stuff passes down, but it says here, God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you be accountable for yourself.
Yep.
Here's what that false doctrine of generational demon possession does. It makes you not accountable for you.
Right.
And that's what everybody's after. They out to get the blame off them and out to get the, well, I didn't really do it. It was that demon that possessed me or whatever. I notice the same crowd preaches there's a spirit of adultery, a spirit of drunkenness, a spirit of this, and a spirit of that, a spirit of this, a spirit of that. There's a reason why they say that. It gets them off the hook.
Yep.
Have you not forgot what I just read to you, that God wouldn't clear the guilty over there?
Yep.
You don't have a hook to hang on. You
right.
Still hung.
Right.
You know what the dumbest fish in the world is? It's the one that bites the bait, the hook doesn't get set in his mouth, and he won't let go. I caught that fish. He's on my wall. My witness is back there. Never seen that. Listen, how did he get that fat being that stupid?
Yep.
It just don't normally happen that way. So you tell me how somebody with a King James Bible gets roped in that stuff, and I'll tell you. It wasn't a spirit that got a hold of him. It wasn't a demon that possessed him. It was pride.
Right.
And that ain't no spirit. It was just pride.
Right.
Look at what I know. Look at what God showed me. You better get back to the place, like I said over in Acts chapter 13. Let's go back over there, where they preach the Word of God. I want you to notice something, too. Did you notice that when people teach all that stuff, they're trying to explain away something God's already revealed? Here it is. You know why? Listen, do you know why children act like their fathers and daughters like their mothers? It's real simple. It's called not rising above your raising when they act bad. And a lot of times that stuff's just learned behavior. Just like this. Mom and Daddy, if you sit there and tell your bill collectors, well, this ain't really him, I'm his brother, I'll give him the message, your kids will grow up and not pay their bills and say the same thing, but it won't be generational demon possession, does that? That's learned behavior.
Right.
See, that's how that works. If you take and do things in your house that's not right, they'll pick up on it and do them too, either consciously or subconsciously,
right.
And before long, you'll take on all the worst characteristics of your parents, and you may have some of them now, but guess what? It's your fault, it ain't theirs.
Well,
amen. So I like this preaching, preacher. Say it. I like this, boy. It's good. Now we got that rabbit, right? Now we're back to the message. The free part's over with. This is the paid version. So he said over here in verse 5, he said, they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in a place called the synagogue of the Jews. Why? They were trying to reach that Jew. They were going to the religious places preaching the word of God. And the reason they've done that, if you look down at verse 26, is this next name of the Bible. He's preaching along. He says this. This is the synagogue at Antioch. He says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. This Bible is not only the word of God, but it's the word of salvation. The Bible tells us that for a fact now that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, correct?
Right.
All right, so if that's the case, and we've got the Bible over here being preached as the Word of God. He said it's also the Word of salvation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, Paul will pin this down and say, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of salvation. There's never been anybody on planet Earth that's been saved outside they heard the preaching of the Word of God. They may not have got saved right then. They may not have got saved that year. But when God plants a seed in there and starts watering that seed, before that thing springs up, he's already had the plan in place, and then he's going to pour the water on it, put the power on it, and put the conviction there, and then he's going to put Christ there. That's what he's after.
Yeah.
Now, that word of salvation is something we've all heard. I had a man ask me one time, and I won't name him or nothing because it ain't none of your business, but he was really confused about something I said. And he's a good fellow, loves God. He said, what if somebody led you to the Lord with the NIV? I said, with the NIV, perish the thought. I said, somebody lead you to the Lord in IME? He said, sure did. I said, where was you at before that? He said, well, I had attended church a few times. I said, what were they preaching in there that night? He said, I'm not really sure, but I think it was King James Bible. I said, so you heard the King James Bible, right? And it hit him. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It ain't what you led to it with, it's what you heard. You got to hear from this book. You want to know why people get in a mess? Why churches go apostate? They drop the thing that works.
Right.
And I know there's always a devil that's always going to say, well, he said you can't get saved in the King James Bible. Well, he told you right. That's exactly right. You got to hear the Word of God. You got to hear the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, what Peter said. You can't go on corruption. Corruption breeds corruption.
Right.
Whatever you sow to, that shall you reap of.
Right.
You ever wonder why there's so many holes in these things nowadays and all this other stuff? They started out wrong. Hey, listen, you got to get the Word of God. That's the Word of salvation.
Right.
I've heard these jokers get up and say, well, now Jesus is the Word of God, not some book. Not according to this book. Jesus is the Word of God and this book's the Word of God.
Right.
But see, it's just this. I see that it's the Word of salvation. Look over at Acts chapter 14. Now, preacher, you don't have a whole lot of grace about you. Honey, you don't know how much grace I have. I'm loaded with it. You know why? Because it got in me one day. Acts chapter 14, verse 3. Here's where it come from. It says, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. This Bible is not only the word of salvation, the word of God, it's the word of grace. See, a lot of people, if you'll notice here in this verse, he said there that they gave testimony unto the word of grace. That's where what you'd say is where the saved and the lost separate on that verse, because some people can't give a testimony of grace. They've never experienced it. They've never been part of it. But see, when he gives you the word of his grace, and you get that thing, you give testimony how God's grace saved you, you can give that out to people, and they'll understand, too, that you come from the same tree they came from.
Yeah.
The word of his grace. That's what the Bible's called. Now, if I'm understanding correctly, there's a thing here, he says, if you'll notice, he said, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. I hear a crowd today saying they got signs and wonders. I'm afraid you ain't got them. So how do you know? Well, I was at the ER. Let's see, I've been at the ER, God, let's see, 4 times in the last 3 weeks in 2 different places. One of them for somebody else. And you know what I found out? Ain't a whole lot of healing going on in there.
Come on.
Ain't a whole lot of doctrine going on there in some of them.
Well.
Don't kid yourself. If you're going to sit somewhere 5 hours and doctors ain't got time to see you and there's only 10 of you, he's looking at Facebook.
Come on.
We were there last week with that missionary, me and my wife, and sitting there and that's cackling and laughing and looking at something on the computer. I thought to myself, no wonder these people sitting here looking like they're about to die. They are.
Yeah.
In their defense, though, they get people coming in on the ambulance with insect bites now. You're going to ride the ambulance for something biting you. Let me tell you something. Back when I was little and you walked uphill both ways, I got spider bit over at my Aunt Frances's house. And I slept on it overnight, woke up thinking I had a bruise on my arm. There's a big old streak going headed toward my heart. Called the doctor. You know what he said? Go to the emergency room, meet you out there. I wished he'd have never come. You know why? Because he got there, he cut that thing open, and we drained stuff out of me. I thought we was going to get it all out, from the heart all the way out. But see, that's the difference in the day. Oh, here, sit down over here. We know you're dying, but you'll be okay. See, they have to deal with all that, because that's what they put up with, too.
Yeah.
Still, two wrongs don't make a right. I see the word of his grace, that God granted signs and wonders. You know what's missing from this crowd today? They have to have a book on keeping you healing.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. If God ever heals, you ain't going to be healed of it again. You believe the Bible, right?
Amen.
He said, do you believe in signs and wonders? Sure do. I saw several signs down here and wondered this. How many people are going to lay out of church on Sunday night instead of go to the house of God?
Come on.
Signs and wonders.
Yep.
I wonder, too, sometimes. Listen, I wonder, too, when they talk about signs and wonders and all this other stuff. Listen. Why don't you get hung up on Jesus instead of hung up on miracles like that?
Yes.
I believe in miracles. I believe in signs and wonders. And also believe in this. All these folks tell you they got it. They ain't got to tell you if they got it.
Yeah. Come on.
It's granted from above. They already have it. They ought to tell you to come see it. It's already there.
Maybe.
I see some signs and wonders here tonight. Listen to this. I see the word of grace. Look over Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. If you go to some Bible colleges, when they go to teaching you about the Bible, they're going to tell you, they're going to say, well, now the Bible was written by at least 40 authors, and they won't identify whether they're men or women, because they don't want to offend you women. They want to leave it open that maybe a woman did write in the book of the Bible. And they won't identify whether it's men or women. Although God says this, listen to this. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's talking about the scriptures.
Right.
Didn't say holy men and women, it's holy men.
Right.
And the reason God clarifies that is, regardless of whether you think you're smarter than your husband, and in most cases I would say 9 out of 10 of you are. Wait for it. God put a challenge before you in your life, lady. You know what it is? Follow that man. You ever work for somebody that's incompetent?
Yeah.
And if you work for me and raise your hand, you are fired right now. Do not raise your hand. Okay. If you work for somebody that's incompetent, they got there, they're in that position, they shouldn't even be there. You're not there to remove them for office. You're there to do what they say.
Right.
You know what the test is before you? Can you respond to leadership? So is that what my employer is looking for? Are they gonna make me the boss? No, that's what God's looking for.
Right.
Give honor to whom's honor. It's called paying the bills. Now, when we find somebody that's like that, we do that, we go to work, we clock in, we do what we're told, we keep going. In some cases, you work for people that you thought were incompetent until about a year later you realize, hey, they really know what they're doing. I'm the dummy. You ever been there? You won't admit it. You won't raise your hand. You won't admit it. You won't say, I was the dummy. But see, here's what happens. Sometimes we get in a place like that, and we think, boy, that guy's the biggest idiot ever seen. And then later down the road, find out he knew what he was talking about. Ain't you glad you went ahead and followed the Lord on these principles and let God's principles of God's book take over? And somehow, in some way, you got to see something there that you normally wouldn't have got to see. Right?
Amen.
However, when you go to Bible college sometimes, if a man's been taught wrong, he'll teach you wrong. He'll say there was at least 39, maybe 40 authors of the Bible. He won't tell you were they men or women, although God said they were all men that wrote it.
Right.
So how do you know women didn't write it? It only has 66 books and only has 31,000 words in it. Amen.
Amen.
What is a tight crowd tonight. Ah, here we go. I heard somebody say it. Listen to this. But God's word said that he's going to bring his word through a certain race of people.
Yep.
So, well, I heard Luke was a Gentile. You heard wrong. You know how I know that? Paul kept walking into synagogues with him, and they kept letting him come in. You want to see a peculiar crowd? Go to a synagogue. Pile up in there on them on a Sabbath day. They're going to keep looking at you. What you there for? They looked at red hair and said, you ain't a Jew. They look back there and see some blonde hair. He ain't a Jew. They said, wait a minute. He ain't a Jew. He ain't even got no hair. And I said, man. Some of you ladies go one week, come back next week, and they say, it's a miracle. Your hair changed color since last time we saw you. Is this a sign from the Lord? You know, signs and wonders, right? But they do not look at you the same way you think. Why is that? They've been betrayed by everybody. You let them burn 6 million of your people, you'll see how much you trust the human race after that. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them, that's that Jew in verse 1, were committed the oracles of God. Another name for the Bible is the oracles of God. And God just lets you know how many Jewish authors wrote it. All of them.
Yep.
40 or so Jewish men wrote the Bible.
Right.
As God inspired it, gave it through the spoken word, they wrote it down in preservation, and God kept it from that point.
Amen.
It's the oracles of God. Now, we see that God gave the oracles of God to this Jew. Can I tell you a little something about that Jew? They got it all wrote down. Old Testament complete, but when the New Testament came along, I seen over in Acts, was they not trying to reach the Jew first, then also the Greek? Hey, wait a minute, that's in this book right here, ain't it? And guess what? God didn't use one Gentile to write this book down. Why is that? Because he chose to bring his son through the Jew, and he chose to bring his book through that same Jew. So if you're born a Jew, are you born saved? Not at all. Not at all. You got to be born again. Everybody does.
Right.
The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. You know who Jesus was talking to? A Jew. He was born a Jew, but he wasn't born saved. Look over at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Talking to that Jew over there in verse 8, he says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." What does the Bible say about itself? Well, it says it's the word of faith. What does it do? You keep preaching it to people, it's like laying bricks. Eventually you have a wall built there. What we want to do is we want to add to your faith. We want to get you, the person gets saved, we want to add to their faith. We keep doing that by preaching the word to them. What happens then? You build up people in the faith through the word of faith. But if you get a lost person under this thing long enough, God's going to do something for them. What's that? He's going to send them some faith. They ain't got none. You ever been without a, you ever been in the car somewhere and get out of gas? How important that gas level was after that? From then on out, if you've ever had to walk with a gas can one time in your life, just once, from then on, you buy, make sure your car, you buy a car where the gas hand works. And then you keep visiting this thing. It's called a gas pump.
Yeah.
You know why you keep visiting that thing? Because you don't want to be out there walking no more.
Come on.
Right?
Amen.
All it takes is one trip. Nowadays, we got so many enablers out there with cell phones. We say, "How about a gas? Will you come get me?" You're a 30-year-old man. "But it's a whole quarter mile down the road." Back in your day, when they walked uphill both ways, they said, "Take old Pat and Charlie to go way up there."
Yep.
And if you don't understand who Pat and Charlie is, look at somebody that's got gray in their hair. They'll tell you after service. Listen to me. It's the word of faith. God wants to build you. God wants to build you up in the most holy faith, and he does that through the teaching and preaching of his book, the word of faith. Now, notice this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We got the Bible. It's the word of God. It's the word of salvation, the word of grace, the oracles of God, the word of faith. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we meet something very interesting over here. Another word is called, he said in chapter 5, verse 19, "To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." What's the gospel? It brings man and God back together.
Yep.
When did we get separate? Genesis chapter 3, sin separated man and God. The word of Christ, he said over here about God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And it says, "not imputing their trespasses unto them." So when he didn't clear the guilty in the Old Testament, it's because Christ hadn't come. Now that Christ come, he's cleared the guilty by forgiving their sins and washing it away. And he says here, "not imputing their trespasses unto them." Now, if you look up that word imputing, you're going to find out there's a thing called imparted righteousness and imputed righteousness. And that's something that God does. And when somebody gets saved, he imputes righteousness to them and imparts it to them. And therefore, we don't go to heaven on our righteousness. We go to heaven on Christ's righteousness.
Right.
That's why he said, "the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know who that righteous man is? It's not the guy here on earth praying. It's the guy in heaven that's at his right hand of God praying. That's why we pray in his name. But the last part of that thing says, "and hath committed unto us," that's the Christian, he said to us, "the word of reconciliation." Who in the world is supposed to go out and tell people that God wants to reconcile things with them? His part is he provided the law which showed them they're wrong, and then he provided the blood sacrifice of his only begotten Son to pay for that, and rose that Son again the third day for their justification. But he wants them to be reconciled to himself. They have their part of it. You know what it is? Believe and accept his part. It's a word of reconciliation. That's what the Bible is. The Bible don't teach man that he's bad. The Bible teaches man that he's impossible.
Right.
The Bible don't teach that God is judgment. The Bible teaches God is judgment, God is love, and all kind of other things. But the Bible teaches for a fact that it is the word of reconciliation, and you and I carry this word out there, and that's part of what the Bible is. It's the word of reconciliation. God wanting to get back together with lost humanity, but he's not going to change to meet lost humanity. He sent a sacrifice and wants lost humanity to come to him on the basis of that sacrifice.
Right.
It's the word of reconciliation. Here, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, when somebody gets saved, they don't have to wait for the anointing of the Holy Ghost and a baptism of the Holy Ghost. They get it right then. And the Bible says that you get the Holy Spirit the moment of salvation. In verse 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now get it. You get saved, you get the Holy Ghost right then. You ain't waiting down the road for a fresh anointing or all that other stuff. Or a baptism. Listen, you get that. Baptism's put all the way in something.
Right.
Here's the thing. When you get saved, listen, you get baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit right then.
Yeah.
And he says there, he calls this thing, he said, after that you've heard the word of truth.
Right.
What he said, wasn't it?
Come on.
So the Bible is not only just the word of God and the word of salvation, word of grace. It's also the word of truth. This is the book by which God testifies of all things. I've heard people say, and they say, "Well, now I've heard the Bible contains lies." It sure does. It's got man and the devil speaking in it, don't it? God tells on both of them. He let every word be recorded. Listen, when the cultist comes along and he says, "Well, now I want to tell you something out of the Bible," he's going to give you two truths and a lie right there. Get that. He mixes enough truth with error so you don't get caught with it. But that one bad thing's bad, very bad.
Right.
That's why God give us the word of truth to check them out by. I always encourage people, don't take my word on it. Go look it up in the Bible for yourself. Listen, go look in the word of God. Find out if what I said was right here. And if it's not, come back and let me know. I'll be right too.
Amen.
I don't claim to know it all. I just claim the Bible's right.
And
I notice that he says this word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. I find it more and more that if you find somebody messed up in religion, if you go back where they started is where they got messed up. When people who will say, make statements like this, like I had somebody tell me one time, I said, "Now don't call on me to pray in public. I can't do it." I said, "Bless your heart." They said, "So you understand that people just can't pray?" I said, "Well, I understand fine. But I can't understand how you can get a group of people and tell lies on me with a captive audience. You don't seem to be embarrassed by that." They said, "How did you know about that?" I said, "I didn't, but now I do." I suspected some things.
Come on.
When I said that, boy, you talking about feeling led to leave a church.
Yeah, boy.
"Don't call on me to pray. Listen, I just don't know how to talk to people." That's what I say. I can't go, so I don't have to talk to people.
Yeah.
They carry one of these around, don't they?
Yeah.
They keep how many thousands of numbers these things hold? You don't have to talk to people? I think you know how to talk to people. I just think you don't want to talk about something you don't know about, and that's the gospel, because you never experienced it.
Yeah.
You know what happened? They never got the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. They never got that part. You go back to that person that told me I'll let you go back. "When did you get saved?" "Well, I've always felt saved." There's the problem right there. We just started off wrong. Sinner meet Jesus. Jesus meets sinner. I like what J. Harold Smith said about something like that. He said, "If you can't figure out you saved, you probably need to get saved and get saved and write it down right there so you don't forget it.
Come on.
Just in case your mind goes bad."
Yeah.
I see that it's the word of reconciliation, the word of truth. Look over Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 16. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16 says this, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Here it's called the word of life. You know why that is? It's because the Christian that don't partake of the Word of God every day, they die They have you'd think they're dead the way they act.
Yeah.
Why? They've not fed the Word of God themselves. I found out it interesting that Christians that don't read the Bible are mean as a devil. I mean, they mean. They don't know nothing. They're not a spiritual Christian because they don't partake of the words of the Spirit here. They don't take of the Word of life, and therefore they have no spiritual life because they're too busy wrapped up in some other book.
Right.
And you know the name of that book usually is? Them. It's called the I, Me book. Get it? iPhone, I, Me, you know. It's all about me. It's all about me. Here's a great truth that will liberate you from the devil, even after you're saved. It ain't about you, it's about Jesus.
Right.
99% of all psychiatrists would be out of business if just the selfish people, not the crazy people, just the selfish people would leave them people alone.
Yeah.
They've never figured it out that they're the problem. Get out of the way. Put psychiatry out. You ever seen the self-help section over at the bookstore? You know why that's there? Because people's too prideful to admit they need help. They try to go hide and get a flashlight and go through Barnes & Noble and find some books to help with their problems. But you go to God and fix them problems. It can happen. I see that we get over here to the Word of Life. It might be then God's bestseller if you just take that in, I don't know, 3 to 10 chapters a day. I don't know, something like that. Take in the Bible and take it in for spiritual food, you might have a spiritual life.
Yeah.
It may be that you run across verses that tell you that, well, if you don't think you have sin, you might not ask God to look into you and see if He finds any.
Come on.
And confess them things to the Lord. Get them right and tell the Lord, listen, I've done wrong. If you have a lack of respect in your life, maybe you start respecting the Scriptures and have you respect everything else you're supposed to. Maybe if you have an obedience problem, you get in here and find out you need to obey God to be easy to obey everybody else in your life. I mean, it's very possible. But I see here that when we deal with the Word of Life, He makes mention here that He said, "And I rejoice in the day of Christ." On down in the Scriptures, in Colossians 3:16, He's going to call the same book the Word of Christ. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, He's going to call it the Word of Prophecy. And all that can be summed up in this statement. This book is the Word of Life. It is the Word of Christ. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of salvation. And it is the Word on prophecy. Most folks that I know of that get in a mess, they get in a mess by not trying to draw closer to Christ by the Scriptures. They try to find out something. I think we all ought to have before you ever teach somebody, you ought to have your eschatology right. And that's the view of the end times according to the Scriptures. But that shouldn't be the balance of what we do. That should be the end of what we do. We ought to know how to follow the Lord, how to pray, how to study the Bible, and have all that set, then find out what the Bible says about all that so we don't get in a mess by reading the internet.
Right.
I found out something a while back. Jesus was coming September the 27th. And I missed it. I sure did. And then I read the next day He's coming the 28th. I thought, phew, I got another chance. And He didn't come then. Do y'all remember back in 2011, He was supposed to show up on a particular day in May back then? May which one?
20th.
May 20th? Something. It don't matter. We missed it.
Yep.
So you mean we're in the tribulation now? Not even close.
Yeah.
You don't believe Obama's the Antichrist? I don't believe Obama's smart enough to be president, much less Antichrist.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Y'all might as well say amen. He'll hear you on the tape. You know, they got cameras all in this place looking at y'all, so they know you're here anyway. At least that's what they tell me. I got one right on me right there. But listen, here's the thing. I'm not going to go to the internet trying to find out something about prophecy and listen to a bunch of other nut jobs.
Right.
Listen, I'd be crazy all by myself and be a nut all by myself. The only thing that's going to keep this nut screwed on the right bolt is if I got the Word of Prophecy over here to find out exactly how the thing plays out.
Amen.
And I told you this morning, first book of the Bible I read, I got saved. I went in there and read the book of Revelation because I just want to know who won.
Amen.
You ever felt like that? My poor little Gamecocks, they've been losing all year, and every Saturday when I don't get to watch a game, I get the phone out to find out just how it turned out. I'm usually sure how it's going to turn out, but I just, you know, have to find out just exactly where it turned out. You ever been out of your team before? You've never been a South Carolina fan before, I see. Listen to me. Hey, when I come over here to the Bible, when I first got in, I just wanted to find out one thing. Who actually wins this thing? After I found that out, I was fine. I found out I got, somebody gave me a new Converts book after that and all, and them chick tracks from the Jack Chick out in California, I read all them and had my Bible out and looked at all that stuff, got all those Bible stories, started taking in the Word of God. But I found out something. I can't go in here and expect everybody on the internet to teach me the Bible, because it just don't work that way if I compare the Bible to what they're saying.
Right.
I found out that the internet is much like television as far as when it comes to religious matters and Bible matters. Here they are. About 0.1% of them are going to tell you the truth. The rest of them, 99.9% of them, are probably out for your money. You say, how's that? It's a little simple principle. If it don't make sense, there's a buck in it. And a lot of that stuff just don't make sense. So you scroll down to the bottom page where you can find out where you can donate through PayPal. Hey, there it is. Do you know if you donate to their ministry, it says that you'll receive blessings 100-fold. Well, here's a penny. Send me a dollar. So it don't work like that. That ain't what you said. By the way, I'll even go you one better. I put 2 pennies in there because that's what the widow did, and God bragged on her in his book in the word of his prophecy. I'm going to tell you, when I look at that thing about the word of prophecy and it being the word of Christ, I trust him over everybody I know. And I found out something. In his book, it happens just like he says. Over the years, if you go back and read sermons from guys that were alive in the 15 and 1600s and the 1400s back then, before there's even, listen, they just barely got around from, the Dark Ages there. The Reformation had taken place and they started publishing the Bible. The King James Bible started being published, and some guy named Columbus found this one place over here somewhere, and all that stuff was beginning to happen. If you go back and read books by them guys, you know what you find out? They kind of leaned on the Bible for whatever it said rather than what somebody told them it said.
Right.
If you go back and study behind how people viewed the scriptures before there was ever a television or a computer or anything like that, you'll find out they're not warped in their view of the Bible like we are on some things.
Right.
The average person that depends on the internet to tell them what the Bible says, and they don't depend on the word of prophecy, they all have this idea that you've got to have a computer chip in your hand. You're in tribulation. I got a question for you. Why are you so worried about that?
Yeah.
You know what? We won't be here.
That's right.
I sat across the table from somebody the other week and said, we're going to turn down that mark of the beast. I said, I ain't turning it down. They said, do you want to take it? I said, no, I ain't going to be here to have the choice.
Right.
I ain't going to be here. I ain't going to be around it.
Amen.
They're going to come around giving them things out. They're going to find out, hey, I left all my clothes and everything here on planet Earth.
Amen.
Why? Me and my body just took off to heaven with incorruption because God came back through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and took his church out of here.
Right.
I happens to be part of that crowd.
Amen.
I see that word of prophecy tells me that. I see that word of prophecy tells me that I ain't got to worry about such as that, but I'm still with the old school. You know what it is? However God said it's going to happen, that's the way it's going to shake down.
Yeah.
All these people worried about whether or not they found the, what was that thing is preaching a while back about that sacred cow over there, whatever it was, the ashes of the red heifer and all that stuff. I heard 100 preachers preach a message on that. Well, we've been alive long enough since they found that thing. That thing's dead. It wasn't it.
Yeah.
And get this. The way the thing all lays out like this, here's a word of prophecy for you. Right now, those gates that Jesus will walk into when he comes back to planet Earth to set up the millennial reign at the end of the tribulation, there's a Muslim graveyard over the top of that thing. If you go take a tour of Israel, they'll take you right to that graveyard and say that's where the old city gates were. The Muslims happily covered it up with dirt and built a graveyard there. And you know what they're going to say to you? They're going to say, you're foolish that you believe he'll come back and tell them gates to open because we buried the gates. What they say. And they put the very thing on them gates that they are afraid of the most. Death. But I'm telling you, when the king comes back according to the word of prophecy, he's going to walk right up to them things and say, swing wide the gates, and every Muslim body is buried on that hill, and anybody else is standing there is going to be slung right up, and the gates come open, and they start hollering, the king is coming. There's your word of prophecy. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for the time to be in the house of God. What a privilege and an honor and a blessing it is to be here and preach the book tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, God, to stay in your number one bestseller. Help us, God, not to be chasing after every wind of doctrine. Help us get satisfied, Lord, and get settled and established in a local church where you can use us, God, to give out your gospel for us. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.